Happy holidays, my friends, and welcome aboard Bus One. As I'm sure you've heard from your supervisors, Christmas is in trouble, and you three may be our last hope of saving it. So let's play some trivia. Thank you for joining me on short notice. What are your names, recruits?
Sorry, I do this now. What's up, everyone? It's Aiden.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
That's nice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Where'd
it's me.
Go?
Taylor.
Scary.
Hey, guys. All right. Listen carefully. We're on our way to the South Pole right now, the headquarters of Santa. Let me explain. The man you all know as Santa Claus was once actually real and carried out magical trips around the world on Christmas nights to deliver presents to children everywhere. But 46 years ago, that man sadly passed on and left a void that led to the formation of the Secret Association of National Transactions of Altruism, or SANTA for short. We're an international coalition that has taken up the quote-unquote reins of the operation to make sure every Christmas remains magical. But there's been a problem. Someone tampered with the space-time locomotor of events inspiring global history known as the sleigh, and they've changed the timeline to where nobody has Christmas cheer anymore. Now, I know you're new recruits,
but
I'm afraid that whoever went back in time and killed Christmas likely came from within the organization. So you're the only three I can trust to fix this. My code name is Parson Brown because I get the job done while I'm in town. I believe
you each came up with
code names as well.
Oh gosh, you're springing this on us. I was like, you told us at the beginning, you were like, I have something fun. I was like, he's gonna make us come up with a Christmas name, and then you didn't say it, and now you're making me come up with a Christmas name.
What's your name, Agent?
Oh god, I have to go first too. Oh no.
I can go first if you want.
Yeah, go for it.
I mean, y'all know Santa. I am Santa Baby.
Ooh,
code name Santa Baby. That's good.
Okay, here's mine. My codename is Jingle Bells because I go all the way.
Nice. Codename Jingle Bells. Go. All right, Ethan?
I am Banser, the reindeer that got canceled.
Okay, cool.
Great. It used to be on agent. Dasher, on Banser, and then they had to swap them out real quick.
Great codenames, agents. You're about ready to go in the sleigh, but here's a quick rundown of some rules. Now, there's going to only be two levels this episode and 10 questions total. So level one will be 5 questions, 1 point per correct answer. Level two will be 5 questions, 2 points per correct answer. We'll also be buzzing in, and whoever buzzes in and answers correctly first gets the points. There's a challenge rule. Once during the game, I will give a fake answer to one of the questions. Each of you will have one opportunity to challenge what I reveal as the correct answer. If the player correctly guesses which is the fake answer, they are awarded 3 points. If they incorrectly challenge a true answer, they lose 3 points. Multiple players may challenge the same question. Most points wins in the end, and no Googling. All right, Banser, Jingle Bells, and Santa Baby.
Yeah, baby.
To save Christmas future, we must save Christmas past and present. But which should we save first? Whichever we do last will have more weight for your scores. Would you like to start with Christmas past or Christmas present?
Gotta start with past, right?
Yeah.
How are we gonna save present if the past is still messed up?
Word. Okay. I feel like I know less about the past, so we should do it first.
Question one. Jingle Bells, turn the dial back to 930 AD. Santa Baby, set our coordinates to Bohemia. We're going all the way back to the reign of King Wenceslas, where someone must have tampered with the timeline. Known for giving good alms king. To the poor and less fortunate, Saint Wenceslas was said to not have been a prince, but rather the father of all the wretched. He is even immortalized in the song Good King Wenceslas, which covers an event that happened on what day? Jingle bells.
The Feast of Stephen?
That's correct. The Feast of St. Stephen. Do you know what day of the year it is?
No, I could not tell you. I was hoping you would accept that, because I don't think they... It's like, Good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen. The day was November 27th. Close. The year was 958 AD or something like
December
that. I don't
26th.
Know. Oh, actually,
perfect.
Bro. I was
perfect.
That is the Feast of St. Stephen.
You know.
Ah.
Question two. Let me see. Next, we need to go to Christmas Eve, 1818, in the small town of Oberndorf, Austria, where the song Silent Night made its debut. But someone has sabotaged the performance. To set things right, which is not true about this event?
Ooh.
This is multiple choice. A. The first edition's fourth verse was inspired by the end of the Napoleonic Wars. B. The song was in German, so it was not allowed to be part of the traditional Christmas Mass. C. The melody was originally made by Joseph Haydn, but set to words written by Father Joseph Moore of Oberndorf. Or D. The first rendition was performed on a guitar because the church organ was out of order.
Which is not true, or
which
is true?
Not true.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Hey, do you know this one, Santa Baby?
No. But I'm gonna guess.
Go, no.
Go for it.
Send it. Get in there.
I don't know. Number three, I don't think it was written by... Oh, wait, no. It's the ones that aren't true, right? Yeah. So
yes.
I don't think
yeah.
that Joseph Haydn had anything to do with this piece of music. He's too... He's like... He's doing more complex things. I don't think he was part of it.
He's the muse.
Mm.
You
mm.
are
the muse to music.
Correct. The melody nice. Was written nice. By the organist of the church as well. But all of the rest of that is true as well. There is actually a little bit of drama in which the main priest or the main pastor at the church didn't like Joseph Moore and like almost like got the people to turn against him. And so he wasn't allowed to perform this piece, but then the church organ broke down and they had nothing to use for Christmas Mass. And so they instead had to pull out a guitar and they went for this song. And it was the first time it was ever performed.
So rock and roll
broke down,
yeah.
broke down.
That's the only one that I knew for a fact was the guitar one because the organ was broken. So how did they sabotage the performance? Are we going to have to like beat up Joseph What's-His-Face because he's trying to write his new melody?
No, you gotta make sure it happens. You gotta make sure.
Oh yeah.
You gotta make sure it. So you gotta break the organ.
Hang on. Be right back.
We just put whoa. I was thinking just put
done.
Caught
that's
in
visual up. Comedy if I've ever seen it.
That's funny.
It's the video episode.
All right. Question three. Next stop, 19th century London. In that time, England was experiencing a nostalgic return to Christmas carols as the holiday became more centralized around gift giving and charity. One such Charles Dickens embodied this idea in his novel A Christmas Carol, where an old miser named Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by his former associate, Jacob Marley. But Dickens was inspired for these names by a tradesman's sign near his childhood home that seems to have gone missing. We need to replace the sign. Which of the following were the actual names that inspired Scrooge and Marley? This is
no way.
Multiple choice. A.
This is Lord.
Fudge and Marmy. B. Gudge and Marnie. C. Luge and Magley. Or D. Mooge and Scrawly.
So you made six of these names up?
I hope they're all correct.
Aiden.
I think
or, Luge. Jingle Bells. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, I busted last.
Oh, sorry. A code name Banser.
Ah, yes, that would be me. Glad we're using the code names.
Glad, yeah, I have to remember.
I feel like B kind of just stuck out to me as you know, I can't remember either of the names, but it stuck out to me.
Luge. Luge is so close.
Luge is crazy.
You're going that's B, Gooch and Marnie? Yeah.
Yeah.
Gooch.
Yeah.
You're going with that one? You are correct.
No way!
Gooch and Marnie.
Let's go!
So it's Ebenezer Gooch is the real...
Ebenezer Gooch. That's his real name.
Ebenezer, I hardly know her!
Good one.
That's
good
not,
one.
That's not in the Christmas spirit. Come
yeah,
on.
Cut that out. Yeah.
Cut that out. All right. Question four. Ready yourselves again, agents. We're going to war because someone has messed with one of the greatest examples of the meaning of the season. Although World War I was well underway, Christmas Day 1914 is known for the widespread truces in which the British and Germans met in no man's land for festivities, football matches, and even an instance described where a British soldier gave German soldiers haircuts. But, Price is Right rules, how many soldiers are believed to have participated in the truce?
Price is Right.
Price
I don't
is
know.
Right.
Wait, who found the sign? Who found the Gooch sign? Did Ethan, or sorry, did Banzer find the Gooch
yeah,
sign?
Careful.
Just like hidden
yeah,
behind
he
a barrel?
Gave away his identity.
Yeah, well,
yeah, we replaced the sign, and now Charles Dickens writes the book.
I put a little cardboard piece up there just with yeah. Gooch.
With Gooch and Marnie on it.
He walks by.
Does anybody
my
want to answer
God,
the question?
I've
wrong?
Done it.
Oh, yeah. No. Of course
I think
not.
It's Ethan's. Wait, no, he buzzed in first. I guess it's my turn to buzz in first. How many soldiers participated?
Yeah. How many soldiers are believed to have participated in the truce? So, like, total, both sides?
Like 20.
I mean, it's Price is Right rules, so.
That's enough for a soccer match and alternates, right?
Jingle Bell says 20. Banzer.
All right, so Banzer's thinking, I'm going to refer to myself in third person. Banzer is kind of thinking a little bit higher than 20 because, you know, it's a big like front. There's a lot of people. So I'm going
to
go.
Banzer's trying to build his brand back after the allegations.
Yeah. I'm going to plug it as much as I can.
Yeah, you need the name recognition.
I'm
Banzer,
thinking
what's
like,
your number?
I'm thinking 220. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do want to say.
Oh,
I said widespread truces.
Oh, yeah, I thought you meant like the one
football match.
So famous.
No, I'm
just one
across the entire day.
Oops.
Santa baby.
I mean, let's go with 2,222.
Whoa. Ooh. Okay.
Ooh. Dang, all the twos. Lots,
all the twos. What did you do? Up. What is that?
It's a new Apple thing. If you thumbs up, it like does a bubble. I was on FaceTime with someone and I was like, thumbs up, and it did that. I was
you
like,
can do that in Discord?
It looks
Wait,
good.
How did that happen?
Do your other thumb. I don't know.
Oh, did
just,
you
like,
just...
Hold it. Yeah, I don't know.
Whoa!
Yeah, it is.
What
that
the
is
heck?
Magic.
Crazy.
He's super bounce.
Leave that in.
It's a baby.
Aiden, I thought you did that. And I was like, come on. Don't do that.
You thought I did that?
I thought it was like on the soundboard or whatever.
I'm sorry. Did you refer to me as...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's Jingle Bells.
Agent Jingle Bells. Come on.
God,
I'm going to have to edit that in.
Yeah, I know. It was really one.
Santa baby, you are the closest.
Nice.
Yeah.
There were believed to be roughly 100,000 soldiers who participated
wow.
in this Christmas Day truce, which was
so
about
20 was real bad.
Yeah.
It was about 2/3 of all the troops on the Western Front there.
That's
all
impressive.
Of our guesses were pretty equally bad, I'd say.
Yeah. They were getting closer though.
Yeah. 2 million.
You were moving
not
up
too much.
Exponentially.
Yeah. So wait, how are we fixing this one? We have to go like give someone a haircut?
Oh yeah, just make sure it happens. You know?
Oh, okay.
Just cause a ceasefire. That's all.
Run out into no man's land. And
I'm just gonna start
Stop.
Giving some British guy a haircut.
You could do like the one Kendall Jenner Pepsi commercial. They'll meet in the middle with a Pepsi.
Hand a Pepsi out.
Isn't there a Coca-Cola
exactly.
commercial
For
that
you.
Is the
Oh my gosh, props.
The football game? Isn't that a Coke commercial?
Maybe. I haven't seen any 1914 Coke commercials.
Sponsored
Question
by Diego.
Five. And from the fields of France, we go next into space in 1968 when Apollo 8 broadcasted a famous Christmas Day program. Originally, the astronauts had read from Genesis in the Bible and wished everyone on Earth a Merry Christmas. But someone must have gone back in time and delayed the flight to set the mission back on course. What was the purpose of Apollo 8?
Well, hang on. You got this, Santa baby.
Was the purpose of Apollo 8 to basically send out like an artifact from humanity, maybe made by Carl Sagan, to like show potential life forms like, hey, Earth existed and here's some stuff about us?
I think you're thinking of Voyager 1.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it.
Does that have the gold disc with all the stuff encoded on
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that was the record.
Sick. That's
a good answer. That was Voyager 1, which happened a little later. But
the golden plates, if you will.
Jingle bells.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Wait a minute. Are you implying that Voyager 1 is some big Mormon conspiracy?
No. Surely not.
The Nephites. They just told all the other solar systems all about Mormonism.
Yeah, when we finally have space travel like advanced enough to go to other planets, we're gonna get there and they're already all Mormon.
Just, they know.
That would be wild. Jingle bells. What was Apollo 8 for? Quick! If we don't know, then it'll get delayed and Christmas won't happen.
Was it something about the dark side of the moon? Something, dark side of the moon.
Nice. I want to see what Banser says.
Okay.
Because you didn't get told no, I'm going to go heavy into the moon. It was a heavy moon.
Apollo is the moon.
They were trying to get some moon dirt. That's going to be my to
okay. Jingle Bells is going to get this one. Apollo 8 was the first one to reach the moon, and they did multiple orbits around it before coming home.
Cool.
The way that I always remember that one is the patch is an 8 from Earth to the moon around and back, and it makes an 8 on the patch.
That's cool.
So the 11 was the landing, right?
11 was the landing. 8 was the first one that they actually like got out there. But yeah, it was the first mission to the moon, and upon orbiting for the last time on Christmas Day, James Lovell actually announced, like, when they finally reached contact again after coming from the dark side of the moon, he said, "Please be informed, there is a Santa Claus."
Wow.
That goes hard.
That's cool.
Santa lives on the dark side of the moon.
So he was a narc for the Santa organization?
That is crazy, actually.
This is before May rest in peace.
So he was a narc for Chris Kringle. He narked on Chris Kringle.
That's right.
Maybe this mission shouldn't go off.
Yeah.
You're already turning against the organization?
Then Santa wouldn't have died.
True. That's true.
That's a conspiracy.
I'm weaving the web.
All right. So that's the end of round one, if we want to do a score update.
Ooh, I have two.
One.
I don't know how many points I have. I thought you were counting for me.
I think the math's where you got two.
I think
right?
you got so Aiden, oh, yeah, you're two. Sorry, Jingle Bell. Shoot, Jingle Bell's got
shoot.
Got Saint Stephen, Santa Baby. You got question two, the one about Silent Night,
and question four, the one about
the one about the
Christmas soccer.
So 2 points.
The truce. Yes. So you,
oh yeah.
Can you even? I don't think you can see my fingers. Two.
Nice.
Banser got one.
Nice job, Banser.
Good job, Banser.
One step further into coming back into public favor.
We're almost there.
All right, gotta take it slow.
Time for Christmas present. Let's explore some of the less popular aspects of the season and improve them so we can have the highest Christmas cheer ever. Question six. We're going to St. Louis, where the song Christmas Shoes was inspired.
Oh, no!
Let's go.
Not Christmas Shoes!
Christmas Shoes has been one of the less popular Christmas songs since it came out in 2000. But who can best explain the plot of the song?
Oh, my gosh.
That's crazy.
Agent Jingle Bells. Go for it.
So I haven't listened to Christmas Shoes yet this holiday season, so it's been about a year. And even though I think I emotionally have to limit myself to one listening per season, because it's just, it hits you right there.
Mm.
But right. I believe the plot of the song is the author, vocalist, performer is working at a store, one of those big department store types. And this little boy comes up to him all alone, and he's like, "Sir, can I buy these shoes for my mama, please?
It's Christmas Eve
and something, something." Basically, his mom's going to die, and he wants his mom to look good when she meets Jesus, a.k.a. So he wants to put the shoes on her so that she can die in the shoes, and the guy's like, "Sure, kid, this one's on the house."
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Is there anybody else who can add to the story?
I don't remember the other verses. All I remember is the chorus.
I had a completely different guess.
Oh, go for it then.
I mean, I think I don't remember last time I heard it or if I ever heard it. My guess was that the shoes are symbolic for Christmas spirit, and that you're wearing all these other shoes. But you're not finding the Christmas spirit. You really need to find your Christmas shoes to put on so that you can be happy with your loved ones for the holidays. But
dang,
that's inspiring.
I got to get me some metaphorical Christmas shoes.
True. Banster, I can't help but notice that you still haven't buzzed in.
So, Banster, how are you going to get that brand identity up if you're not even buzzing in, buddy?
What do you think
Christmas shoes is about?
Well, first of all, I was absolutely horrified. I've never heard this song.
Am I the only one who's heard Christmas Shoes?
No. I guess my initial impressions, you know, would be like ugly Christmas sweater, but for shoes.
Okay.
That's good.
And, but
like,
you
elf
know,
Crocs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy.
This kid comes up with the ugliest shoes this guy has ever seen. And he's like, "Those are on the house, kid."
They're so giving them away.
They wouldn't sell anyway. There you go, buddy.
He's going to have to pay an emotional price.
Man, these shoes are ugly. I'm going to have to give 2 points to Jingle Bells because
Let's
he is
go,
pretty
baby,
darn
all the
close.
Way.
The plot of the song goes, the singer is actually in line behind the child to buy gifts for Christmas, and he's behind an impoverished, dirty little boy who wants to buy shoes for his mother, who may die later that night.
Cooper, why would you call him that?
I'm describing that from the song.
Cooper, I saw you edit to the new Wikipedia page. I saw you edit in live time.
Banter would never associate
the song
with that.
Does
just saying.
Like describe him as being like dirty and stuff like that. Yeah, like
he was dirty from head to toe. Gosh, now I get why it's not played very often.
The boy does not have enough money, so the singer pays for the shoes. And this is the best part. This is the part I was wanting. Finally, the singer remarks in the end that God has sent that little boy to remind me just what Christmas is all about.
So Santa Baby was pretty close.
It is. I mean, the little poor boy is
the little,
a,
the little,
the little dirty,
dirty,
poor boy.
Dirty boy.
It's just there to help bring that Christmas spirit. So let's hear some ideas. How can we make this song more popular to raise that Christmas spirit?
Let's just cut out dirty little boy, and I think that, like, all the way up.
Yeah, the singer to me kind of seems like he feels above the little boy. Like, he's better than him. Like, he's like a symbol to him instead of, like, a human being. It's like, I don't know, there's another way to put that where you don't come across as, like, conceited.
Here we go. We reframe the song so that the kid's buying really ugly shoes. And
and it's a comedy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Banter's going to come out and say it. Dirty little boys are people, too. You can quote me on that.
Yep.
Wow.
Amen.
What a change in... what a change in image from Banter.
Yeah.
Question seven.
Can we have Banser sing the new Christmas shoes to get his name back?
Oh yeah, and that is another thing, is what Jingle Bells said is correct, that he does sing "When Mama Meets Jesus Tonight," and that's how he describes his mom about to die.
That's crazy.
Jeez.
You should listen to the song. It's a banger, but you can only listen to it once.
Pause the episode right now to listen to your one allotted Christmas shoes listening session per holiday season, and then resume.
That's only right. We'll listen to the EDM remix.
Yeah.
Yo. In the club, just going hard.
Like close.
Dirty little impoverished boy.
Okay.
Question seven.
Keep saying this.
Question seven. We're off to Hollywood next. Christmas movies are beloved, but some movies haven't quite hit the mark. Which of the following movie titles is not real? I made up one of these.
Okay.
A. Santa with Muscles. B. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. C. Santa versus the Devil. Or D. Santa Meets Jesus.
These go hard.
Oh my god.
Jingle Bells.
I feel like it gotta be Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. I think the rest of them are...
You think I would make up Santa Claus Conquers the Martians?
I think you would.
Well, I didn't. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians is a real movie.
Insane.
Santa Baby.
What was the first one again? Because I think that's my guess.
The first one was Santa Muscles. With Muscles.
Yeah, that...
That's my favorite one.
Although to like middle-aged moms everywhere, it'd be a great movie, I'm sure.
It's actually Hallmark. That
big
one's Hallmark.
Demographic. Yeah,
Hallmark.
Big.
I can see that as a Hallmark movie, but I don't
they
think it's real.
Disguising them.
Because I'd like the last two to be real. I would love if there was a movie with Santa and Jesus, they battle it out. Yeah.
They battle. Yeah. Wow.
It's like Batman v.
That's my imagination.
But they hang at that.
Only one of us can have Christmas.
To the death.
Santa with Muscles is fake.
Santa with Muscles is real, actually.
Yes!
And Hulk Hogan,
I'm gonna go watch that. I'm going to watch that.
That's gonna be so
crazy.
Good.
I think the plot of Santa with Muscles is actually Hulk Hogan playing somebody gets like in an accident where he causes like amnesia and he believes himself to be Santa. And I guess Hulk Hogan, so he's got
amazing
muscles, I guess.
That's pretty good,
movie,
actually.
But
so they
that's pretty good.
The title. They I originally wanted to call it Santa, and then people were like, why does he have so many muscles? Like, we gotta say that up
that's
front.
Right.
That's so
right.
Like, that's Hulk Hogan. Like, what?
I don't get it.
Banser, you got 50-50 here. Is it between Santa versus the Devil or Santa Meets Jesus?
So, both of these... you know, Christmas being, you know, a Christian holiday, both of them seem pretty on the nose. So which one would you make up? I think Devil's bad for branding, and I get this stuff as Banser. So I'm going to go with
the
Devil.
You believe that Santa versus the Devil is the fake movie?
Yeah,
That is actually a real movie.
No.
Santa versus the Devil is actually like a 1950s movie, in which,
wow,
like a superhero. It's actually a
Muscles.
I think it was made in Mexico, actually, but it is fully Santa with the help of like Merlin, like the wizard, defeats the like. The Devil.
That's good for PR. I think that's good for PR.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's like superhero-esque, yeah. You know?
Isn't Christianity very anti like wizards and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they're probably
also hard to describe, you know.
Hey, that's crazy. Anything's better than the Devil.
That's right. That's right. And
even
I made
Merlin.
Up Santa Meets Jesus.
Well, oh yeah, and that makes sense because St. Nicholas was born way after Jesus.
That's right. They would never meet.
That would be historically inaccurate if
Jesus
Santa
is
met
in
Jesus.
Heaven, and Santa has not been there. Santa would...
Well, we don't know. He fought the Devil
when he died,
and only
he
won
to...
because he made a deal that he would go to hell.
That's right.
Spoilers for Santa versus the Devil.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no spoilers,
sorry,
please.
Sorry if you're planning
no
on watching that. Question 8. Where to go now? What better way to celebrate the season than go out and see all the snow? But not everybody gets snow, especially in the South.
Bummer.
What is the furthest south in the U.S. that snow flurries have ever been reported? Closest without going too south.
Or the south.
Snow flurries have ever been reported?
Ever.
Oh, you said without going too south.
Without going too south.
Oh, bummer. Oh, well,
so it's like Price is Right, but geography.
But
okay. Yes, of course.
Santa baby.
I don't think it quite hit Florida, but I do think it hit the northern part of Texas.
Okay. Do you have a generic like city? I'm looking at Google Maps.
Yeah, right, city. I would say it hit. I don't know geography, but I'm just gonna say it hit Austin. And it didn't quite reach. Didn't quite reach Dallas.
Okay. Austin is south of Dallas.
Then reverse that.
Checkmate.
It kind of hit Dallas, but it didn't quite reach Austin.
Okay. I get you. Nice. I get you. Who is next? Banser.
Yes. Going on the Texas theme, if you will. I remember recently there was some like Texas blackouts who where they received a lot more snow than they've ever had and was like much more south. Right. I'm pretty sure that was pretty south reaching. Now tell me if these are more south, Cooper. Would Houston or Galveston be?
Houston and Galveston are both south of between Dallas and Austin.
Which one's more south? Are they similar?
Galveston's slightly more south, but they're pretty close.
I'll play it safe. Houston.
Houston. Okay. Jingle bells.
See, I was going to say, like, I'm thinking like south, and I don't know about like West Coast stuff where there's mountains, but I'm thinking there's probably some weird stuff with hurricanes where like you get snow in a place you wouldn't get snow in the Gulf. Is New Orleans more south than Austin?
It's about the same, I'd say.
Okay, I'm going to say New Orleans just because I feel like that's something that might have happened.
Okay.
Who knows?
Those points, I guess, will be going to Banser.
Nice.
Because the furthest south that there have ever been snow flurries is actually south of Miami.
Oh.
In Homestead, Florida. Yes. Quite close to, it's about halfway between Miami and Key Largo. So it's gotten pretty down there. And that was in like 1977. So,
was he the most south or did I go too south?
Yeah, Ethan was the most south.
Oh, I thought you said he was between Houston and Austin.
What? No, Houston. Sorry. Houston is south.
Can we Google a map? Can we?
I think my guess
Google
was like Dallas, and then his guess was lower than my guess, I think. So that's why.
Oh, yeah, I see. Ethan's Austin was the lowest. I think I got confused.
No.
It goes Dallas, Austin.
Banser said Houston.
Okay. Sorry, my bad.
Which I guess we can.
I thought I was going southernest, south, but I don't have a map, so that's on me.
Which is souther, Houston or New Orleans?
Souther.
It's probably Houston.
I would probably say Houston. If
that's
if
good,
to
I just got confused.
Check the latitude longitudes
coat,
on that.
I tell you that.
Maybe you need to go to Houston
so I can get hotter
and get a power outage.
Yeah. So 2 points to Agent Banser.
Nice job, Banser. Hey, fun tangent. Someone at work the other day told me that I looked like I would be from Miami, and I didn't know how to take that.
I'm sorry.
I was like, he was like, you look like you thrive in somewhere like Miami. I was like, dude, I've lived here like my whole life.
wearing the tank top shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah, I didn't know how to react to that. I was like, I've never pictured myself a Miami guy, but thank you.
One of my work friends, I was like, oh, I like the idea of getting a job in the Pacific Northwest. And he's like, oh yeah, you look like you like the Pacific Northwest. He's like, I've never even been there before. What the heck?
It fits.
Cut to Cooper earlier saying, I look so hipster with my headphones over my beanie.
It fits.
Yeah, this is not going to break the Pacific Northwest allegations. Question 9. Quick! Hurry. We need to find the nearest mall. Snow really is magical, but sometimes it doesn't naturally fall where you need it, like in Florida or on movie sets or inside malls. In these times, artificial snow has been used. But what is it? Which of the following has not been used for fake snow before? I'm doing a lot of these kinds of questions, I realize.
Yeah.
A, breakfast cereal. B, asbestos. C, stearic acid. Or D, potato flakes.
Oh, jeez.
Santa baby.
God, I'm so slow on this buzz.
So I believe in the evils of asbestos. Like, they totally did that. But I don't think they would have used acid, whatever acid you said.
Stearic acid.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they ever used that.
Exactly.
Even though they totally used asbestos, for sure.
They did actually use stearic acid.
That's not good. It's not healthy.
No.
That's criminal.
That's not good.
That is not criminal.
Good. Banter.
I 100% agree. The Hollywood's insane. They use asbestos.
They use that in everything.
Yeah, they're crazy.
So I'm going, I think breakfast cereal is a little bit too out of the box. If you
will. Okay.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Well, you would be correct in that assumption because breakfast cereal has not been used. I mean, can you imagine how like crunchy it would be just walking around in that kind of snow?
Little do our contestants know that this was the fake answer. Looks like they were fooled this time.
Just nothing but marshmallows from Lucky Charms.
Oh yeah, it's all berries. All right, and then question 10. Finally, we're off to the United Kingdom. Originally a tradition in Germany that became popular in the UK, the Christingle is an amalgamation of objects that each represent an aspect of Christmas.
Oh, gosh.
Describe to me what you think a Christingle is as I describe the four things that, like, are what it represents.
That's insane. So,
there's one, the one main aspect of it represents the world. Then with that, there's another thing that represents Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Another thing represents the blood of Christ, and then four around it represent the fruits of the earth and the four seasons.
Well, dang.
And if you want to draw a picture, I'm all for it.
Oh, we're in that
visual medium, you know? We're breaking
that'll help.
Visual medium.
So, wait. So, the earth?
Yeah.
The light of the earth?
Yeah, the world, the light of the world, Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ, and there are four similar things that represent the fruits of the earth / the four seasons.
Hmm. All right.
Right.
Should I go? Right. Is this like, should I try and just go absolutely wild, or should I do something real?
Just be accurate.
Whichever you want. I'm going to be using Charlie Chaplin rules
because it's pretty open. Much.
Pretty open format.
Oh. Santa Baby's already ready to go.
Oh, Santa Baby knows.
Well, I don't have a pencil and paper. I didn't know we needed that today. But
that's fine.
In my mind, I'm imagining a geometrical thing. So you got like a rectangle, right? Hence, Christingle, I think, rectangle.
Oh, okay.
Each of the four corners, they're connected to each other, but they're also connected diagonally. So everything is connected to each other thing, right? They're all connected. And then together, that's all I got.
It's a geometric amalgamation.
Yeah, like if you were to picture it that way, and but they're all on the same level, and you need all of them in order to make the whole thing. You know, if you're missing a part, then you know it means something if something's missing. You need to have them all there for it to be complete, for it to work. Right.
That's solid.
I get you.
Kind of broad, but.
I have no clue what these four season things are, but you know what? I'll just make it up as I go.
It's the
the
fruits of the earth.
Okay, that's what I was kind of
wink,
thinking.
Wink. slash the Four Seasons.
So this is kind of what I had. So it's like a wreath.
Oh, wow.
And that's the world.
That's nice.
And then there's a star in the middle, and that's Jesus in the light. And then there's a bow that I kind of like. I imagine it kind of like a ribbon, but I just drew the bow for representation, which is the blood of Christ.
The blood of Christ. Yeah.
And then there's like four little clumps of berries around it. And I think that is the fruits of the world.
The earth.
That's sweet.
The world. Don't they know it's Christmas shoes time?
Yeah. Sing it. You almost done with your drawing, Banser?
Yeah, I'm going for art, so it's, you know.
Oh, he's tough. He gets to use colors because he's on a boo.
Well, I'm going to add something to mine if I can do that. Probably
go for it. Go for it. Yeah.
Well, I think I didn't really incorporate the fruits of late or the fruits. I think the fruits are represented by trees. Connected to everything else, and on each tree, of course, it's associated fruit. And I think they're growing from it. Like, you need everything to be there for the trees to grow and for the fruits to be produced.
It's a climate controlled environment.
Sure. Yes.
I just think of Animal Crossing, you know, like the main fruits that you grow on. Chris Dingle is coconut. My Animal Crossing island.
It's a big pentagram.
That's right.
That's interesting. That's right. That's an interesting guess.
Banser, you got your drawing ready?
I do. So hopefully this is seeable. But yeah.
Fruit of the Loom.
Ooh, wow, I like it.
Wow. Yeah.
But wait.
A bit of a Thanksgiving theme.
Okay. Okay. Can you describe
so
it?
I have
the world.
The world is the cornucopia itself.
Okay. And then which is Jesus Christ, the light of the world?
Yes. That is, of course, the little ribbon that I have because it's so shiny.
I thought it was the banana.
Okay. What is the blood of Christ?
That is the fruit juice inside of each of the fruit.
Inside each of the fruits, okay.
Because it's inside all of them.
And then I imagine those four different fruits are the fruits of the
earth. Oh, yeah. Or maybe a cup of water right next to it.
For hydration.
Draw that.
Or wine. Yeah, wine. Get crazy. It's wine.
Nice.
Go crazy. Chris Tingle.
I'll go ahead and describe what a Chris Tingle is, and then I'll hand out the points. The answer is the earth is an orange in which a candle is stabbed through the middle as it is it is Jesus Christ.
The light.
The world. Around it is a red ribbon that represents the blood of Christ, and stabbed into the sides are dried fruit on skewers.
I think I've seen
like
this.
A tree.
I actually, now that you describe that, I think I've
like
seen
a tree.
Ever, like this before.
If sounds like a tree to me. Seen the James Acaster stand up, he talks about it, and at the very end, he eats a Chris Dingle.
That's probably why I've heard of
that's this. Awesome.
But he jokes that if he was ever going to be in a food fight, that would be his weapon of choice. how do we raise
red ribbon?
The, red ribbon. I would say you were the closest Jingle Bells. So I will give you those 2 points.
I also had fruits.
How are we gonna raise the popularity of Chris Dingles?
But make
how
them better.
Food fight. Easy.
Easy.
Food fight.
Food fight.
They
for
just
the
gotta,
world.
Honestly, they just gotta put them in colleges. Just start putting them in every single college cafeteria.
Oh yeah.
You know, then all the students are gonna be hooked on it because they can't really buy a whole lot, so they're going to be eating all of them, you know.
Dang.
The fruit and dried fruit.
Yeah, we got to post, we got to be influencers. We got to take a bunch of like, get ready with me and make my Chris Tingles. I go harvest my own oranges and then I just, I make my own beeswax candle and I just really stab it through there and then.
Yeah, just drop one off at the D'Amelio house and
easy.
Yeah, it's huge.
People filming
this
TikToks with them.
This is my
put it on the TikTok shop and then people will advertise.
Chris Dingle.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you dance while eating the Chris Dingle.
You just dance in front of it.
Is it something you eat, or do you just like have it?
You enjoy it.
You just light the candle and hold it. I think. I don't think you.
You respect it. Yeah.
Why would you ruin a perfectly good orange? How do you grow oranges in the winter? Like, do you have to import oranges to make your
crisps? I don't think they grow oranges in the UK in general.
Yeah, but you said started in Germany. So were they just like, you know what best symbolizes this time of year? Something that oranges. Does not grow in our area.
Around really. We did it. We did it, everybody. We saved Christmas and right too on easy. Time.
Let's go.
Let's get a score check.
I have this many, which is six.
Six.
Mm-hmm. I'm at this many. Five.
Ooh. Santa baby.
I'm stuck at two.
Two.
Dang. I guess. I don't know.
Well, the game's not over yet because there was a challenge question.
Done.
Any ideas? Any ideas for a challenge question?
Are you the... You lied to us.
It's me, the bad guy.
Oh, no.
I'm the devil.
Santa tried to versus me, and he lost.
And he died, so I'm still here, I guess. I didn't actually think this far in the plot.
He's the devil.
Any ideas? Any ideas?
I have a thought, but I want to wait and to see what these guys are thinking.
It'd have to be one of the multiple choice ones, right?
I did give you a lot of them. Do you want me to read through them all?
Sure.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay,
get ready to play the sound. Here we go.
So they repeated all the questions so they could remember what they were.
I'm going to challenge the snow flurry thing.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to say that snow's touched every single part of the United States at some point.
Mm. I like it.
Like it was no further south. It was just everywhere has been touched by snow.
Everywhere the light touches.
Everywhere the snow is yours.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay. Jingle bells or banter? You gotta.
I got one. I'm gonna challenge the Christmas truce question because I think that feels like one of those things that you hear and you're like, "That's awesome," and then in reality, it actually didn't really happen. Like it's just a story they tell that like. Is kind of like built up for stuff. So I'm going to go that one.
Okay.
Locked in.
Aiden's on team. All countries hate each other and they would never do anything positive.
Ooh, yeah.
No, that's actually really valid. I think that might be correct.
I think at least like the football game is a myth. I don't know if like observing the Christmas truce part is, but yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good. That's I was considering that one. I think I'm gonna have to go.
Still do it, Ethan.
No. We gotta make it exciting.
I mean, Banser.
Oh,
yeah.
Bleep that.
I'm kind of thinking the movie question. I'm thinking this. Okay. This seems like a Cooper situation where. They're all true.
They're all true.
They're all movies.
You don't Santa think I made up Santa meets Jesus.
He I did think meet Jesus.
I think that maybe that's a real movie out there somewhere.
Okay. Okay.
The devil couldn't have won. Santa must have met Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Drumroll, please.
I'm not actually
sadly, none of you found the correct challenge question.
Bummer.
The real challenge question was the fake snow question, in which breakfast cereal has been used for snow.
Before. Oh, that was no!
It was used pretty prominently before the 1940s, and actually, it was What a Wonderful Life. That was the main movie that made them move away from it because Frank Capra had. Like important dialogue that he wanted to have during when he's like running through the streets and it's snowing and he's saying like Merry Christmas y'all building alone and all that. Mm-hmm. It was very important to him that you could hear what Jimmy Stewart was saying, so they actually switched out to like soap flakes and something like very
yeah
very but they did use asbestos as well especially in The Wizard of Oz.
Something good.
Like one of the biggest
ones I've heard that they used.
I heard the paint was really bad as well.
For the poppies, right? That's all
for
asbestos.
The poppy scene. That's all asbestos. Yeah. Yep. So
is Judy Garland's Hollywood. Not still alive, is she?
No, she's not.
Okay. Thanks, Hollywood.
Thanks, Hollywood.
Thanks, Hollywood.
Thanks, Hollywood.
Well, folks, we've done it. We've saved the day.
Yeah, I guess we did.
Who won?
Yes, it was Jingle now. Bells.
Jingle Bells.
I went all the way.
He's right there.
Jingle Bells.
You are the best agent we had today.
Good job. Yes.
Thank you, sir, Mr. the Devil,
Whoa.
Sir.
What?
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 What? What did you do?
I did this.
What? It's Merlin.
That's crazy.
Awesome.
Well, folks, looks like we've rolled into the station. And that's all the time we have. Aww. If you enjoyed your ride on Bus One today, we'd really appreciate it if you told your friends about us. We are just a couple of months away from 2 full years of Bus One. So let's get it going. We do have some merch on the website now. So if you want any merch for our 2 year anniversary, that's BUSONE Trivia,
Spell that.
We also have a Christmas sweater.
We also have a Christmas sweater that Ian's not wearing.
Here, look, it'll be right here. Oh, look how nice it looks. You can get it just in time for the holidays.
That's right. We're on all social medias at Bus One Trivia, BUSONE Trivia, or you can submit your topic or question ideas at busonetrivia.com. Before we go, we'd like to thank Vert for the use of our theme song, 5978, which is a certified banger.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you for riding Bus One and Merry Christmas. We'll see you next week.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Wait, Cooper, what about our word? What about our word?
Oh, yeah, we all had a word.
Yeah, where's the word?
We had a word, Cooper. Where'd the word come in?
Oh, that was supposed to be your code names.
Oh.
Oh. What was your word? Say your word then, if you didn't use that.
Mine was jolly.
Jolly.
Holly jolly.
Mine was capitalism.
Capitalism.
That's honestly what I think of when I think of Christmas.
Nice.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Good answer.
All right, Ethan.
Mine was love for others, hyphenated twice.
Dang. See, that would have been those would have been banger code names.
I didn't realize I didn't make it clear enough.
I didn't make it clear.
I thought
enough.
You were gonna be at the end, like, what's Christmas mean to you? Wait, before you stop recording, hang on. I wanna test something out.
All right, I'm really hot.
Wow, take that off, fire. Dude.
Oh my gosh.
Take it off.
I went too hard.